Thank you, choir. That was good. I like it. What about the rest? Beautiful songs and sing it in the right way. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Long time no see. Today is a very special day according to our church calendar. What day is it? It's Pentecost. It's a very important festival for the Jews and also for the Christians. There are seven major festivals for the Jews. But out of these seven major ones, three are super important. Most of the Jews, they will try their very best to go to Jerusalem. Before, during Jesus' time, and even until today. And these three are the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacle. And of course, the other festivals, like the Day of Atonement, also very important. But today, I think out of the three, of course, the Passover is very important. And that coincides with Good Friday and also Easter. And normally we celebrate. We remember Christ who was crucified for us, and then we celebrate Easter. But Pentecost is a day that many may forget. But the other day, which most Christians would overlook, and that was the Day of Ascension. Did you celebrate or remember this day? It's just 10 days ago. And you may be surprised. Indonesia, being the biggest Muslim country in the world, is a public holiday on the Day of Ascension. Until today, they were ruled by the Dutch for 300 years. And since then, Day of Ascension was a holiday, and it continued until today. So I told the churches, it's unfair for the church to be locked and closed on that day. We should have special service, and to tell all the people, this day is different. And of course, 10 days after the Ascension, on the 50th day, after Easter or Passover, is the Pentecost. And the Jews believe the day that they got up from Egypt, 3 months later, that was their first Pentecost. And on that day, God gave the law on the top of Mount Sinai to Moses. And Moses brought the law to the people. And that was their very first Pentecost in freedom. But on that day, 3,000 were killed because they did not obey the law. 1,500 years later, Christ came and ascended to heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. And that was the very first Pentecost after Christ's resurrection. And on that day, 3,000 were saved, baptized, and received the gift of eternal life from Christ Jesus. So that is the contrast. And the church should observe this day. Once I was sharing with a pastor from the Assembly of God. They are more charismatic. So I asked them, do you celebrate Pentecost? Which is an important day that we remember, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And his answer was interesting. He said, we don't do that on this particular day. We do it every day. So, okay, if you can do that every day, because Holy Spirit in you, but on this particular day, I think we need to pay a bit more attention to this. And according to the Episcopal tradition, we are going to celebrate 110th anniversary. We have a long history and tradition of upholding the Episcopal tradition. And according to the Episcopal tradition, whenever we meet, we should have Holy Communion. And even if we don't, on all the major feasts, like today, we should have Holy Communion. So today, we should follow the tradition. And of course, I can share from the Old Testament, Exodus, about the very first Pentecost. And I also can share Acts chapter 2 about the first Pentecost after the resurrection. But today I want to move a bit forward to share how we can be a bit more practical when you go and minister to others, especially those who are sick or in troubles. Since last year, we plan to have some training for our people. For those who are involved in visitation or care group, and we are going to relaunch our care group, there should be a series of teaching. But looking at the schedule, I cannot wait. So today, I hope this very short time can serve many purposes. On one hand, we remember this special day, the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, this passage we have just read, Mark chapter 4, from verses 35 to 41, which is a very familiar passage to many of you, I suppose. There should be something today the Lord is telling you about you, your life. And thirdly, if you go and minister to someone, this is one of the models that you can adopt, and that form part of the training that we can do today. Let's say you are going to visit someone in hospital, suffering from an illness which is serious, or you see someone facing some crisis in his life. What can you do and what can you say? Of course, you can sing a hymn, find an appropriate one. You can pray, you can read scripture. But what I intend to do is to print some brochures, and this should be one of it, with this passage written. And then you can read this passage with the patient or with the person concerned. And after going through this reading, you can share with them about some insight from this passage. On that day, when evening had come, and when you read the Bible, never overlook the opening statement of a particular passage. On that day, which day? What did Jesus do during the day? And the day was not ended yet. Something more exciting going to happen. And if you read from verse 1, chapter 4, all the way down, Jesus was teaching the disciples about one thing: faith. Do you have faith. And Jesus put them on a test, but they failed. And same thing could happen in our life. Sunday after Sunday, we hear some sermon. But would that help? When you are facing some problems in your life, would your belief and all your study in the Bible, all the knowledge of the Bible, become a great help for you to pull through, to stand firm, or you collapse? So after all the teaching, Jesus took them to the boat to cross to the other side. And you know this incident well, and you have just listened to it once. But maybe you need to listen several times. And look at us. Look at yourself. Think of all the people that around you. Our life is something like crossing from this side to that side. Isn't that true? We are going from the junior school to high school, and then to college, university. From children, childhood, to teenage, to youth, to young adult, and so on. And from maybe single to married life. Or from married without children to seeing your children coming, growing, and then we entered middle age and maybe elderly life. Every stage, every portion of your life is simply point A to point B. You can recount of your life. Every year, I do an examination of my life. I list down 10 important events. It could be good things to remember. It could be something very sad that I need to do now as well. And every 10 years, in fact 5 years, I do a major renovation of 10 major events in the last 5 years and then 10 years. And I can see my life clearly. From the day that I graduated from university, spent 10 years working in marketing field, and then went for theological training, became a pastor, spent 13 years in pastoral ministry, and then the next 10 years preaching and teaching. I could see very clear-cut point A to point B. And from A to B, there were waves, storm, problems, and I praise the Lord. He's with me all the time and pull me through. So when you want to share with someone facing a crisis, or maybe so down, as the doctor said, you are suffering from a disease which all of us do not want to know, want to hear. But that is very real. You cannot deny the fact. The medical report says so. So how are we going to help them? And when I share with the young people, we have a lot of young people here, when you are around 20 or 15 to 25, I say this age range, you are full of problems. Agree? Whether you want to go for further studies, where to go, what to study, oh, it's a big issue. And then courtship. And a lot of issues, a lot of problems. But when we come to middle age, we have no more problems. Agree? Very silent, quiet. When you come to middle age, what you face is not just problems. These are crises. When you are struck down by a major disease, or you lost your job, or you failed in your business, I think among all these, the worst is if your child has gone astray, did something very wrong. I think that is very, very hurting. And this is not just problem, it's crisis. And if you are not well prepared, you will be caught without knowing what to do. You get panic. But bear in mind, when you yourself facing this situation, or you are going to counsel someone to be with this person, know that there are three dimensions. The very first, you have to understand the works of the devil, the evil one. And there is a pattern. When the devil strike, a great windstorm arose. I assure you, the devil is not a gentleman. He will never give you advance notice. He will never tell you, get prepared, I'm coming tomorrow. He just come. And this is so sudden. And we are always caught unprepared. There is a very famous pastor, a black pastor in America. And he said, storms come and they are so personal. They seem to know your address and have the key to your house. It's very real. It seems like you are the target and the devil hit right on the target. And he could pierce through all the doors and protection you thought you have. No, he is just right there. So suddenly, a great windstorm arose. And then, waves were breaking into the boat. The boat was already filling. I think there is a reason why Jesus called his disciples, 12 of them, and more than half were fishermen. There are many reasons. Of course, Jesus' ministry surrounding the Sea of Galilee. And the number one income during Jesus' time was fishing. So, more disciples were fishermen. But I think there are other reasons as you go on into the history. These disciples, they were fishermen. They have the experience on the sea. And from their knowledge and experience, they know the size of their boat. They know with this level of wind and storm, sure die. Your knowledge may tell you, your experience or the experience of others, like doctors, will tell you, I'm sorry, nothing that I can do. So the only choice you have, actually, is to trust the Lord. And the Jews were well trained in the wilderness for 40 years. Training for what? You look into the sky, there is no hope for rain. Don't hope for that. You look at the ground, you cannot find even grass. Don't talk about food or vegetation. The only way you can survive is to trust God. Today our problem is we have too many choices. We have alternative. So we do not need really to depend on God. But when you are in crisis, let's lean on Him. And He is your only trust that you can have. And the works of the devil will cause you to pass the blame to others. Not just others, even to God. And nothing new about it. It started since Genesis chapter 3, when Adam ate the fruit. God asked him, "Didn't you?" He didn't answer directly. "Because of the woman you gave me. Otherwise, I won't." In another word, he tried to defend himself by passing the blame to the woman. And then God asked Eve, and she said, "Oh, because of the snake." But the snake did not pluck the fruit and give it to him, to her. She plucked it herself, ate it, and gave it to her husband. So the works of the devil include cause you to pass the blame, and worse, you blame God. And of course, the devil could use his power to make you afraid and lost faith. Watch that out. Many Christians, I think the stronger you are, the possibility of questioning is higher. And we tend to do that. When we see someone who loves God, who serves God, in sickness, in trouble, we ask, "Isn't he serving God? Why he get all these problems?" And when you serve God, when you are down with problems, you ask the same things. "God, why me?" It may be very normal from the psychological point of view, but it's also normal, as the works of the devil is to cause you to be afraid and lost faith. But it should be very abnormal if you have faith in the Lord. You should not. You should stand firm. This is the time of trial. The more you have to cling on and to lean on the Lord. So understanding the works of the devil is important. And do not be deceived by him. And secondly, you have to acknowledge the weaknesses of men. The weaknesses of men. I think the very first thing we have to admit, we never prepare for problems to come or crisis to come. Are you well prepared? Do you have first aid kit in your home? Do you have that in your car? Do you have breakdown signs in your car? Do you have fire extinguishers in your home, in your car? I think many of us would say, "Why should I?" But when you are facing emergency, you need all this. Or when others are in trouble, you can offer a help. But maybe we are not prepared. You don't see the need. I praise God for being trained for emergency. Every year, we have training for evacuation. For disaster to happen, but praise God, we never face any major disasters. We got trained for like air crash. Happened in the city, so what can you be prepared? And the government should take the lead. In Singapore, we can turn the Changi Airport into a hospital in 2 hours. All the beds are hidden in the wall. Within half an hour, the nearest hospital to the airport, the staff would arrive and set up in half an hour. In 2 hours, all the medical staff would be arriving and to carry out surgery or whatever needed on the spot. this is preparation. Some years ago, when the tsunami hit, the whole Aceh, north of Sumatra, was gone, including the airport. So how to move the rescue team and the materials to rescue? Without the airport, you cannot do that. Praise God, we rebuild the airport and put up a portable control tower in 3 days so that the aircraft could be landed. All these are preparation. And I think we need to gear up. I offered some help. I have a member who is a colonel in the army, now retired, and he was in charge of the logistic for the SARS event and for the tsunami. He was well trained and willing to help churches to equip with all this. And I think our mission committee, we have to look into this, or we set up another committee to gear up in case there is a disaster, how we can move our materials and train personnel to the site and offer help. But we are caught ill-prepared, and that is one of our major weaknesses. And then passing the blame. Whenever something happens, we don't spend time to do rescue, but to blame others. And that would not help. So look at the disciples. What did they do? Donna did well when she was reading the Bible, but it could be more. Teacher, do you not care? Or something even more stronger than that. I think that would be the tone of the disciples. How dare you? I think most of us may have done this mistake when we were young in blaming our parents. When you become a parent, then you know I did wrong because your children did that to you, misunderstood you, and then passed the blame on you. And the disciples did that to their teacher, their rabbi, whom they were following. Do you not care? Since when Jesus did not care? They saw the very fact. We are in trouble and you are sleeping. They didn't understand. They were being put to a test. And then they were so afraid. If you read Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, there were a lot of people lining up to enter the hell and see those who are afraid. They lie in the front, actually. So when you are afraid, which means you have no faith, and this is equivalent to many other sins you may think which are serious. But without faith is equivalent to many of these. And then the very last verse, they have great fear. They feared exceedingly. What do they fear? The storm? No. Now they see the storm was still. But they were exceeding fearful, said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I think we have to come before the awesome God. But he is not here to threaten you, but to comfort you. You should come to him without fear. Come to him and ask and trust him. But you see, on one hand, the evil works of the devil put you off. On the other hand, the weaknesses of us again put us off the track. And thirdly, we need to look at the works of God, the mighty one. knowing the evil plan and work of the devil may be important. You need to know your enemies. And acknowledging our weaknesses would help us to improve as well. But more importantly, is the work of God. You acknowledge that He is the Almighty. And how would this God help you? Verse 35. Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." I like this. Anything special from this verse that you can catch? Let us go across to the other side. When God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, in English it's translated into Ten Commandments or Ten Rules. And then in short we say the law, or in Hebrew the Torah. But what is the law? The English translation is a weak translation. And if you look at Chinese translation, it doesn't say fa li, which is law. But in Bible it says li fa, turn it around, to make it something different. It's not just like the law. We have the impression of the law. Not quite that. But what is the real meaning of Torah? We can put it this way, three things. Number one, instruction. Number two, guidance. Number three, direction. And this is the meaning of Torah. God is giving you some instructions to guide you, to show you the direction. And if you follow, you take heed to it, you shall live, or you shall have life. And that is the target. So if you have instruction, you are the blessed one. And Psalm 23, I think all of you know it so well. There is one verse. For His name's sake, He lead you in the righteous path or righteous way. He leads you. And if you have someone to lead you and to instruct you, you are the blessed one. If you have parents who would take care of you and to instruct you, teach you, you are blessed. I praise God for that. But I tell you, not all parents are able to do that. They themselves are so hopeless. How could they teach their own children? They are not trained. And they don't know what to do. So if your parents are able to teach you and guide you, you are blessed. Same thing, if you have teachers who can really teach you, impart their knowledge to you, and mold you to make you someone who could be used by God and the society, you are blessed. But many teachers, sorry to say, are so hopeless. I've seen many of them, but I praise God. I have many good teachers who taught me. Until today, I'm so grateful to them. And I hope we have more good teachers among us. And above parents, teachers, I assure you, our God, He wants to give you direction. He wants to point you to the right direction that you should go. Cross to the other side. And with me, He will take you there. But very often, we decide, I want, then you bear the responsibility. You don't cry after that. when you are in trouble. But the Lord will still not forsake you. Come back. And He is still with you. Because He promised He was with them in the boat. And the very last verse in Matthew, the Lord promised that He would be with us till the end of the earth, till the very last day. And then we shall be with Him forever and ever. And also, He has the power and He is willing to rebuke the wind. And the English translation said He rebuked the wind. You may think He shouted or raised His voice. No, no, no. The original text, it says, hush. Actually, Jesus, despite of the shouting, screaming of the disciples, and seeing the wave coming here and there, water filling the boat, He just turned around and commanded the sea and the wave by doing, shh. That's all. Interesting. And He is so powerful. He did not have to shout. Just shh. And with this, be still. Your life is restored. Let's experience that. And the Lord come with full of compassion. He said, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And I think by that time, the disciple would have recalled the lesson they just learned on that very day. And I hope when you are in trouble, remember, count the blessings. Recall the word by Christ Jesus as the Holy Spirit lead you. The Holy Spirit will help you to remember the word of Christ. And you should be able to overcome and to see the Lord is with you. And if you go through that yourself, I think you are in a better position to counsel and help others. So we will produce a brochure with this passage written. And then you can share with a patient or someone in trouble that from the three angles. The evil works of the devil, the weaknesses of men, and the almighty works of our God. And of course, you can pray. You can pray with the person. But in the life, in your life, like when you are in an ocean, you are in a small boat on a big ocean. There's one question I want to ask. Do you have Jesus in your boat? If you have, you can just sleep in peace with Jesus. But if you don't have, it's the time right now to invite Jesus into your boat. Then He will go through the life with you. And of course, when it comes to prayer, we have to learn from the Bible. So, in conclusion, I would like you to pray for yourself and also pray with the one that you are counseling. Using Ephesians chapter 3 from 14 onwards to 21. There are three parts in the prayer. The first is you come to God the Father. So over here, Ephesians 3:14, Paul said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. And what do you pray? verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. And this is important. When you are in trouble, you are afraid. I think many people will first react by saying, si liao. If you say si liao, you declared, gone case, finish. No. Now is the time you pray to God the Father. Strengthen with your power through his spirit, so that in your inner being, you are strengthened. Stand up. So this is the very first prayer. And secondly, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What is the second prayer? You pray to Christ, God the Son, to understand his love. Why did the disciple blame Jesus? Don't you care? He does. Because you don't understand his love. So bringing yourself and others into the understanding of the love of Christ is important, and that should be our prayer. And thirdly, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God through God the Holy Spirit. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Never limit the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how to pray? Yes, you should. But on the other hand, we must acknowledge, I do not know how to pray. Because the solution that God is going to give me is beyond what I know how to ask or think. But he promised, through the fullness of God, with his power, according to the power at work within us, he would fulfill beyond what we ask or think. Praise God for that. So you can end with this prayer and then leave the brochure behind for the patient to continue to ponder the word of God and to pray accordingly. So this is one of the training, one of the ways that you can do at hospital bedside or with someone in trouble. Or maybe this is a good lesson for you yourself. May all glory to our Lord. Amen.